Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Sports in the Mitten, powered by Mr. Spots in Ann Arbor. I'm your host, Adam Biggers, Michigan and Michigan State beat writer for FanRag Sports. And before we get started today, I just want to remind everybody, today, Friday the 13th, don't do anything unlucky, but I have a Michigan-Indiana preview, kind of some major talking points, some things that we talked about last night, some things that we'll talk about a little bit today. That's on FanRagSports.com. Follow on Twitter at FanRag _U and at FanRag Sports. Also follow me on Twitter at AdamBiggers81. I will not be at Michigan, Indiana. I'll be at home, but I'll be watching and, of course, following up. So kind of a light weekend for me, both Michigan and Michigan State on the road, Michigan State at Minnesota. And we'll get into Spartans Gophers preview a little bit toward the end, but primarily answer your questions. Today regarding Michigan and Indiana, a couple little, if anybody has any lingering questions about Michigan or Michigan State basketball, you know, we got to start thinking about that a little bit too. So basically go over some stats. We did kind of the statistical preview last night, but, you know, any topics basically still on the minds of you guys right now going in tomorrow's game. Tomorrow will not be a cakewalk for Michigan. I do expect a 24-10 win. But don't be fooled by the score. I think it'll be kind of something like the Purdue game where maybe things get going a little bit late. But I do think going from one extreme to the other as in terms of offense as a pro style to a spread, I don't think it's going to really throw them off too much. But I do think there'll be an adjustment period, just like there is, you know, basically for every game there's a little bit of an adjustment period, I think. At least we've seen that with Michigan, obviously, this year. So MIC Book says, what's up, Adam? May I? MIC Grant Canfield. Hey, Grant, how you doing? Wes Weber Jr., do I own a University of Michigan hat? I do not, Wes. I do not. Grant Canfield says, is there any way Michigan changes their offensive line, say, moving Cole or our center, and center being Patrick Kugler? No, I don't think Mason Cole's going anywhere. I don't think Ben Bredesen's going anywhere. I don't think Patrick Kugler's going anywhere. I think if there is going to be a change on the right side of the offensive line, it's going to be at right tackle, maybe right guard, but I feel like Mike Onwenu has done enough to kind of hang tough there. Right tackle has been an issue, and it doesn't matter if it's Nolan Aluzio or Juwan Bushelbeattie. Both of those guys have struggled a little bit. Juwan, the first play when he relieved Nolan, gave up a 7-yard sack. Michigan was at its 11-yard line, backed up to the 4-yard line, so Kenny Willekes just blew right by him on the edge. So, go Wolverines, says... So to answer your question, I think if there is going to be any tinkering, it's going to be at right tackle. And my logical guess would be John Runyon Jr. Go Wolverine says, with the money this coaching staff is getting paid, do you think Harbaugh may make changes to that staff if they continue to underperform? Well, I mean, everybody's signed extensions, guys. So, I mean, I don't think that there's going to be, and, you know, I'd have to read through their contracts in terms of, like, what a buyout would be. But, I mean, I don't think there are going to be any immediate changes. I mean, Don Brown's locked in for 5 years. Pep Hamilton has a 4-year deal. Tim Drevno signed the 5-year extension. So, I mean, Greg Madison's not going anywhere. Don Brown, nobody's talking about Greg or Don. Nobody's talking about Mike Zordich or Brian Smith's jobs. Everybody's talking about Tim Drevno's job, basically. I feel like that's the topic in Pep Hamilton's job. And I've heard some people bring up Jay Harbaugh with the running backs. No one's really talking about Greg Frey, and I'm not trying to, like, attack Greg or say I, but people are calling for jobs, and this is basically what I want to get at. People are calling for jobs and automatically blaming Tim Drevno for everything, and I'm not calling for anybody's job. I'm not advocating that, but Tim Drevno doesn't coach the tackles. I mean, a lot of the offensive problems have been on the right side of the offensive line. That's Greg Frey's territory. That's tackles. A lot of the problems have been with the passing game. That's Pep Hamilton's, that's Pep Hamilton's area. I know that Tim's the offensive coordinator, so essentially kind of their boss. But at the same time, Jim Harbaugh makes the final call on all offensive plays. He made that clear. And again, I've mentioned this a few times. Jim said on Monday, if a play works, it was a great call. If a play doesn't work, it was a horrible call. Media has the right to question it. But at the same time, that's about as far as it goes. I don't think Jim Harbaugh is going to come out, you know, one day with a whiteboard and say, hey, anybody want to take a go at this? You know, we're open for suggestions. You know, this is what we're doing right here. This is why X, Y, and Z is not working. He's not going to do that. Jim Harbaugh has, there's a fine line with Jim Harbaugh, I think, how much of the actual technical X's and O's that he's willing to discuss with media. And I think it varies on who asked the question, if he thinks that they understand, or if they're just trying to get a quote, and B, his mood. So it comes down to that. Does he think you know what you're talking about? And does he feel like answering that? Those are the two factors. MIC Book, does Michigan rush for 100 yards tomorrow? That's a good question. I mean, are the Wolverines going to rely more on the ground game? I mean, yeah, John O'Korn struggled, 3 interceptions. That was, you can't, I feel like you can't really measure John on that. The measure of John is still the second half at Purdue, in my mind. That's still the measure of John O'Korn. That's still the John O'Korn that I think Michigan can get. And it's not being overly optimistic. I feel like a game like this past Saturday, you can't, I mean, just the same, you know, on the other side, you can't totally judge Brian Lewerke. You can judge their first halves, I guess. John looked good in the first half, I thought. He wasn't, you know, he wasn't horribly shaky. Mistakes started piling up. He panicked, and he wasn't getting protection either. So 4 sacks. But to answer your question, does Michigan rush for 100 yards? I mean, Indiana isn't one of these teams that's just going to be a run-stuffing defense and not give you anything on the ground. I mean, I feel like Tigre Scales is really the guy to watch out for. And if you think of the best linebackers in the Big Ten, Tigre's up there, Josie Jewell at Iowa, and certainly Devin Bush, and I think you got to mention Joe Bocci, too, from Michigan State. So, go Wolverines, just the offensive coaching staff. Are you saying, in regard to fire, just fire them all? Jason Hughes, he's right. Jason, who's right about what? Grant Canfield, I think this loss will benefit Michigan. Well, Grant, I'll tell you this. It has to, because think of this scenario with me, guys. You lose to Michigan State at home. You lose to Indiana on the road. You got to go to Penn State on the road. I mean, a two-game losing streak pretty much erases any chance of winning the Big Ten. Three game, you might as well. I mean, that's the nail in the coffin right there, right? So this is a critical game. It's a must win for Michigan, no doubt about it. I do know the guys that are amped up for it, of course, because it's the next game. And back to the running back thing, Chris Evans said that rushing for almost 100 yards, he had 12 carries for 97 yards and a 49-yard touchdown against Purdue. He said it was a cleansing feeling. So and he smiled. So that's a good feeling, a cleansing feeling. Going home, essentially. West Lafayette's not too far from Indianapolis, where he's from. Bloomington's an hour and 15 minutes south. So if Michigan's going to run for 100 yards, maybe they ride Chris Evans, because Chris Evans is a little bit emotionally invested in this one, because he knows there's going to be a lot of people that he knows. Said he'll know a lot of people in the student section. So I don't know. That's your optimist's reach for the day, guys. Can the running backs rush for 100 yards? Well, I don't know. If Chris Evans has his has another hometown or a homecoming game, whatever, then the answer is yes. Go Wolverines. No, I didn't say fire the entire coaching staff. My question was whether or not you thought Harbaugh might make changes based on earned performance of the offense. Oh, my bad. Go Wolverines. No, I don't think anybody's going anywhere. I don't. The main components, Pep, Tim, Drevno, they're not going anywhere. Jay Harbaugh's not going anywhere. And I'm not saying that because Jay is Jim's son. I'm saying that because I don't feel like there's really a knock on Jay. People question it because there are a couple fumbles. I mean, that's not on Jay Harbaugh. That's on the players. I mean, Chris Evans was even talking about it. I mean, they've emphasized, they do the fumble drill. They emphasized it this past week. Check out the videos on my YouTube channel. Please like and subscribe. Chris even gave us a demo on carrying the ball and stuff. I mean, Jay Harbaugh is not out there fumbling the ball. They're teaching them the right way to carry it. It's a matter of execution. The players will say that. I don't think there's any, and I feel like that's the case too with Greg Fry and the tackles. I mean, with Tim Drevno and the rest of the offensive line, even with Pep Hamilton in the passing game. I mean, it's not, I don't necessarily think it's on coaching. I mean, you're looking at an interception. One of the interceptions John O'Korn threw if not more, but certainly one was on the receiver. I mean, you know, just lack of execution across the board. Eddie McDoom dropped the pass. I mean, John O'Connor threw him a perfect pass. You know, there's lack of execution. It's not, I don't believe it's necessarily a play calling. Eddie McDoom catches that ball, and that's a huge play. Great call, even though it's in the rain. He drops that ball, and people are, why are they throwing it in the rain? So you have to kind of think of it along those lines. It is really a matter of execution. Michigan's players are not executing. Hey, Aaron Wise, thanks for joining. Grant Canfield says we need to play with more heart. I do agree. Go Wolverines. No, there's no nepotism with Jay. Jay's earned his role there. There's no nepotism. If you look at his Twitter bio, though, if you want to tweet him, he loves a good nepotism tweet. He even says that on his Twitter bio. So, MIC Book says, what's the best way Michigan should build offensive confidence to gain momentum going into the meat of their schedule? I mean, you got a simple answer. You got to run the ball well. John O'Corn's got to play well. He can't get sacked four times. This is a must-win on several levels because, again, they're coming off a loss to Michigan State. Going to go to Penn State next week or Saturday after this Saturday for a night game in Happy Valley. That's an intimidating venue to play in. I don't care, you know, what guys say if they don't. We've heard enough people in the past already say that it's really tough to play there. So Michigan's being politically correct. Next game is the next game. That's our focus. And these guys I know. Patrick Kugler says everything's still ahead of them, but they've got to win out. And if that's not pressure, then I don't know what kind of pressure. But he says they have to win out. So they don't win out, I have to believe. Okay, they lose at Indiana. Well, that's not winning out. Right there, the goal gets that much harder. You lose at Penn State, that goal's, I mean, impossible. So best way to build offensive confidence, I mean, I think they got to show that they still believe in John O'Corn, and I believe that they do. The offensive line has to play better. And, I mean, against Indiana, I mean, we're not talking about, you know, a top-ranked defensive line here. I mean, it is a road game. And, you know, Indiana played them close last year. But this is something where, like I said, where I think this is Don Brown's defense takes care of business. And maybe if Michigan's offense can somehow turn the light on a little bit, I mean, I'm seeing 24-10. Maybe a little bit more than that if, like I said, something can kind of click. But I learned my lesson, I think, over-projecting with the offense with the Cincinnati game. But, I mean, Wilton Spade was a quarterback at that point. I thought that was going to be 56-6. I was wrong. I've dialed it back a little bit, expectations with the offense-wise. It's because it's not that I don't think that the talent's there. It is there's a lack of execution. There's some kind of... I don't want to assume there's something off balance. That's the only thing I could say. I mean, with the defense, it's completely level. There's no ups and downs, no ifs or buts or questions. It's there. With the offense, is too many ups and downs, too many downs, and the downs are getting lower and lower. So there are questions here. Marcel Woods, hey Marcel, how are you doing? Were you surprised MSU went one-on-one with Gary a lot? And Gary said that was one of the most physical, Rashawn said that was one of the most physical and fun games he's ever had. I think he liked it. I'm not necessarily surprised because, I mean, at the same time, if you're Michigan State's offensive line, you know if you're doubling Rashawn, then, all right, well, Mo Hurst is home free. And Jim Harbaugh said that Saturday was the best he's seen Mo Hurst play since he's been at Michigan. So, I mean, I think that Michigan State had to, I mean, it was almost a pick your poison. Go one-on-one with Rashawn and risk it, or double him, and you're completely, you know, leaving it open for Maurice Hurst. Or you're taking another guy off of someone else, and maybe it's Chase Winovich making a play or something. So I think it was that along those lines. And no, I'm not surprised. Any other questions, guys? We're going on 15 minutes. Wow, I feel like it's only been about 5 minutes. Could get into Michigan State, Minnesota preview real quick. I think I'll spend a couple minutes on this, guys, and then we'll get back to Michigan just because it's fresh on my mind. With Minnesota, I think if you're Michigan State, you got to worry about Carter Coughlin, linebacker, wide receiver, Tyler Johnson. And the running backs, Rodney Smith and Shannon Brooks, kind of rode the quarterback. He might take off a little bit. I don't really see that being it. I think if you're Michigan State, it's basically containing Rodney Smith and Shannon Brooks, and that's the gist of it. Minnesota's banged up. Brian Lewerke, he's got a ton of confidence. Michigan State's coming off a big win against Michigan. And this is a game I think that's going to prove, is Michigan State really serious? I mean, does Michigan State really want to make a run at a Big Ten title? And I think that this game will say a lot. It's how you respond against a rival. I'm not saying that. I kind of laughed at when people in the preseason were, even after a couple games, people were suggesting, are Michigan State a dark horse to win the Big Ten? I thought there was no way. This game will say something. I mean, I still need to see a little bit more. I want to see Michigan State, you know, against a Penn State or somebody like that. I think it's going to be later in the year and when you really get a good assessment of the Spartans. But so far, I think if you're Michigan State, you feel pretty good. And obviously, Minnesota, that's a must win as well. Both teams are facing must wins. 4-1, critical juncture in the season. And for Michigan, do you want to be 4-2 heading into Happy Valley? Or do you want to be 5-1? So that was the Michigan State section of the Michigan State section of the show, guys. Hopefully it wasn't too painful. Grant Canfield, how well does Michigan need State to play out the rest of the year? I mean, obviously if Michigan State plays well the rest of the year, that loss doesn't look as bad, right? So and right now Michigan State's ranked number 21. So you could look at that. You look at that a little bit. Go Wolverine says, when ESPN made their picks this week, two of the three writers picked Minnesota to beat Sparty. I don't see that happening. I think this is a game where Michigan State, it's not that Michigan State's not going to have a problem, but I do think this is a game where Michigan State controls. Minnesota's banged up. Minnesota's defensive back, wide receiver, they're missing a lot right now. So I do think this is something where Michigan State goes in and wins, you know, 28-17, 28-14. And that's, you know, putting some stock in, you know, their emotional high after beating Michigan. I mean, and it's certainly, you could turn it around and say, well, is it going to be going down the road? Are they going to be primed for a letdown? I mean, there's always two paths, I guess, or two angles to look at things. So, Tyrone Sensi wants to know, am I a Michigan or an MSU fan? I am impartial. I mean, people who know me know, but I don't get into that. I look at two teams. I look at coaching staffs. I look at players. And, you know, essentially guys are trying to accomplish their dreams. You know, coaches, I appreciate all that angle. So I don't look like if I'm in Michigan or if I'm in East Lansing, I don't look at it like one team's my favorite. Or I mean, I grew up in the state. And I definitely have a favorite, and it's you know, I was definitely raised in a family that you know, my uncle Guy especially, who encouraged it. So, that's as far as I go. I don't think it really matters. Leoism says at Adam Biggers, Drake Harris at wide receiver. Thoughts? They got enough at cornerback. Drake wasn't going to get in there at corner. I mean, I thought that when they announced the move that Drake Harris was going to cornerback, I said, okay, well, they're deep at wide receiver. They have to put him somewhere. Well, I mean, now with Tariq injured, I mean, we haven't really seen a lot of consistency. I mean, maybe does Drake Harris get in there? I mean, we haven't seen consistency from Kakoa Crawford, Aiden McDoom. You know, Maurice Ways has played a little bit. Donovan Peoples-Jones hasn't been overwhelming, at least against Michigan State. So, I don't know. I figured the way I look at it is they're probably like, all right, well, I mean, why not? He's not going to get in at corner. I mean, the 3-4 guys would have to get injured, I think, before Drake Harris gets in at corner. So, he's got a better chance to play a wide receiver. Grant Canfield says, have to get back to work. I'll watch rest later. Thanks for the Q&A, Adam. Go Blue. Hey, Grant, thanks for watching. Appreciate it, man. Have fun at work. Yeah, guys, we're going on 20 minutes now. Probably end it here in a few. Marcel Woods, what do you think about PJ Fleck comment on the Michigan State-Michigan game? I didn't see that, Marcel. Let me Google it right now. I mean, I can only imagine. I've heard about it, but I've been kind of in a bubble. I basically what I do, my house, I kind of, it's like a little bunker. I go out, you know, like on Wednesday I went to Michigan State for basketball media day. So, you know, kind of sifting through that stuff. I was writing Indiana preview, kind of, you know, doing some other things work related. So here it is. I'm going to read it. This is from Nick Baumgartner, the Detroit Free Press, wrote this. And I'm reading directly from it. It says, Minnesota coach P.J. Fleck, no stranger to the state of Michigan, will have his hands full Saturday night when his Gophers host Michigan State in Minneapolis. The Spartans, of course, are ending this week after pulling off a 14-10 upset win over rival Michigan in Ann Arbor on Saturday. Asked earlier this week if he was surprised that MSU pulled off the upset, Fleck, the former head coach at Western Michigan, said he was not. In fact, he says he'd have been surprised if the result was flipped. And here's PJ's comment. Quote, I think they've beat them 8 of the last 10 times, so I don't think you can be surprised at all. I think it would almost be the other way. If Michigan beats Michigan State, you should be surprised in these times. But that was a big win for the Spartans. Okay, well, I mean, to me, I guess I'd have to hear it. To me, that doesn't sound as bad. People, you know, I saw people posting and things that are like, oh man, PJ took a crap on Michigan. And I mean, he's going by facts. They've won 8 out of the past 10 times. He's saying that he wasn't surprised that they won. And I mean, I guess with Michigan State, now it's 8 of the past 11. I mean, can you say surprised? I don't know. Maybe was it a minor shot? I don't know. I thought Michigan was going to win this game. I mean, I did. So, I mean, I don't know PJ Fleck well enough to know, is that a minor shot or was he just kind of pointing to facts, which those are facts. So, Tyrone Sensi, where did I go to high school? Dang, Tyrone, ask a lot of questions. I graduated from Clarkston High School, which is just a little bit north of Pontiac. But I went to 3 different high schools, actually. Swartz Creek, and then I lived in Indianapolis for a year. I went to Broad Ripple. Marcel Wood says, I'm just ready for November 4th, Battle of the Energy. That'll be a good one. I'll be at that. Jay Stevens says, the defense played great, didn't allow any points in the second half, and I'll add only, 2 first downs, I think, too. Why doesn't anyone talk about the firing of the offense? And why doesn't anyone talk about the firing of the offensive coordinator? The worst part of every Harbaugh team is the offense. Well, Jay, I talked about that a little bit earlier. I think a lot of people are, you know, crying to, you know, fire Tim Drebnow. You know, I've seen all kinds of people. And when I say all kinds of people, I'm the fans. You know, I haven't heard, you know, anybody, you know, like national media or any analysts or anybody, you know, that anybody that are basically in the know. I mean, this is all fan emotion. You know, fire Tim Drebnow, fire Pep Hamilton. And again, the offensive plays, the final call, belongs to Jim Harbaugh. And a lot of Michigan's offensive woes aren't just Tim Drebnow's fault. I mean, Tim Drebnow coaches offensive line and he's offensive coordinator. But again, like I said, I mean, right tackle has been an issue. Tackles are Greg Fry's territory. He's also a run game coordinator with Jay Harbaugh, who's a running backs coach. I mean, the passing game hasn't been great, Pep, you know, and that's Pep Hamilton. But again, I don't think this is necessarily bad coaching. It's bad execution. And I've cited, you know, we've all watched the games. We've all seen the plays, you know. I mean, it's just poor route running. There's drops. Back to John O'Korn's 3 interceptions. At least one of those wasn't on John. Because the wide receiver, and Harbaugh said this after watching the film, he said the wide receiver was supposed to come back, but he didn't. So, I mean, that wasn't on John. John knew the route the wide receiver was supposed to run. The wide receiver didn't know. So, Go Wolverine says, again, I'll say that the execution falls on both the players and the coaching staff. Well, I mean, Go Wolverines, put it this way. What if I spent a lot of time with you, and we'll just use baseball as an example. What if I spent a ton of time with you and you're getting it in practice and I'm showing you, you know, something like how to field a ground ball or something. And you're getting it in practice every day. You're practicing well and you're learning it. And you're learning it partly because of you and you're learning it partly because of what I'm teaching you. So everything's great in that regard. But you go to a game and you can't do it. is that poor coaching? It's poor execution. The coaching was there. The execution and practice was there. You know, you have the basis for it, but you're not doing it in the game. I mean, the coach can't go out there and catch the ball for them. So, I mean, that's why I think it's easy for people, because if the players aren't doing it, oh, well, it's the coach. Let's pile on the coach. But, I mean, and I'm asking an honest question. How many of you guys out there just, like, really know the ins and the outs of it? I mean, it's a little more complicated than just, okay, the coach coaches the player goes on the field. It's, this falls on the players. I mean, the coaches are going to say it falls on them too, but I don't believe that this is all poor coaching. I believe this is, it's 70-30, I think, really, on the players. Lack of execution. Again, because we go back to that Eddie McDoom drop, you know. People, why are they throwing it in the rain? Why are they, Eddie McDoom catches that ball, and that's a superb play calling. People are hailing Jim Harbaugh. Wow, Pep Hamilton, Tim Drevno, that was genius. What a call. What a gutsy call, too, in the rain, even. You know what I mean? So, Marcel Wood says, I think you were right about O'Korn having to sit out for bye week, had too much time to think. And, guys, I'm wondering about that. I mean, John O'Korn really wanted to play. I mean, and again, you can't change the bye week. They have to take it as it comes. And, you know, I understand all that. But rest versus rust. And I know a lot of people kind of laughed at that when I said that. And they're like, oh, that just gives Don Brown an extra week to prepare. And, well, the defense, yeah, it did. It gave the defense an extra week to prepare. And that's in hindsight, too. And now it's easy to say, oh, well, the offense wasn't prepared during the bye week. They didn't go about their bye week the right way. I mean, it's either or. Rock City says, do you think it's time to play the freshmen and see what they can bring to the table? No. I think Michigan's 4-1, number 17 in the nation. And this will change Rock City within the next two games. I mean, if Michigan loses at Indiana and loses at Penn State, that's three losses right there. They still got to play Wisconsin and Ohio State. They're going to lose one of those games. So at that point, then I can start saying, all right, what else is there to lose, I guess. But at this point, Michigan goes. Michigan's playing the best players. And again, I mentioned this last night. It's not like they're like, hey, we're going to save these really good freshmen and just put them in later just for the hell of it. And we're going to sit them on the bench. And we're going to play, you know, guys that are second and third string compared to them. Michigan's playing the best players that it has right now. And that's something why I don't understand why fans don't understand that. You know, it's not like they're like Jim Harbaugh and the staff are just sitting back there and they're like, oh, all these freshmen, we can't wait. Once we play these freshmen, these guys, wait till we play our best players. You know, then we're going to be really good. They are playing their best players. They're 4-1. They're number 17 in the nation. Must win at Indiana. You lose at Indiana, things get a lot harder. You know, you're a two-loss team at that point, two conference losses, and back-to-back for the first time in Jim Harbaugh's tenure at Michigan in terms of at least in the regular season. So there's a lot riding on this game. So Rock City, to answer that question, ask me again after the Indiana game and then again after the Penn State game. Jason Hughes says, yeah, don't give up on the year yet. You can't. I think if you go with that philosophy and start playing the freshmen and say, okay, let's see what these guys are doing, you give up on the year. Jeed says, should be a tough one. Real test for the secondary. Indiana averages like 408 yards total offense per game. Number 4 ranked total offense in the country. Number 10 in terms of pace of play. So it's going to be a fast-paced offense. Jason Hughes, freshman will see time at Rutgers. I think that's a game because, I mean, guys, don't forget the FOIA. I know it's been, you know, like 8 weeks now, but don't forget the FOIA. Jim Harbaugh hasn't. I guarantee you that. This is going to be a huge discount on the steak. I forgot the name. What's the name of the place? Is it Ruth Chris? I don't think it's Ruth Chris. The one in Ann Arbor that had to eat the 78% discount. That was hilarious. Rock City, appreciate the honest response. No problem. Rock City, I mean, I'm not going to, and it goes for both, Michigan or Michigan State or whatever, I'm not going to be rah-rah and fan about it, you know. I mean, there's other things for that, and if you want that, you could find that, but I'm going to tell you what I really think. I'm going to tell you, I might not always tell you what I know, but I will tell you what I can confirm. And it's always, you know, no BS, you know, that kind of thing. So hopefully you guys appreciate it. I try to be straightforward. Jeets says, should they rearrange line and insert Ruiz, move Cole to the right side? Jeets, I've had this question before. I don't think they touch Cole with Caesar. I don't see him being a right tackle. Are you suggesting where you want Caesar? I think if Caesar and Caesar Ruiz might be a guy, maybe at right guard. Maybe if they, I don't think that's going to be any change, but maybe at right guard, because Caesar was right there for a starting right guard position. I mean, he was in the two deep in camp. Left Jeeds at left guard. Well, then what do you do with Ben Bredesen? Put him at right tackle? I know some people are saying that. I don't know if you necessarily do that. I mean, I know that Ben got a little bit of left tackle. True, what does Onwenu go then at right guard? Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I don't see Onwenu really going anywhere. I think if there's gonna be a switch, it is right tackle. And if it's not Nolan or Juwan, it's John Rennie Jr., sorry. Had a brain fart there. I would be shocked to see Cesar Ruiz as a tackle. I really think that they view him as a guard. Bredesen at right tackle could, I mean, it could work. But, I mean, I don't, the left side's pretty good. So why mess with that? You have a lot of strength on the left side. From Kugler over is pretty good. Kugler to Onwenu has some trouble. Kugler over, I mean, that right tackle, guys, is the glaring weakness, I think. Marcel Woods, Onwenu is an excellent run blocker. He is. And if they can, and that's still on the backside, Marcel, right? Because a lot of times they're running to the left. But, I mean, if they can get something going with the right tackle, then they can start running the ball to the right side of the field. I mean, they have when field position dictates that, but there's no question. I mean, Michigan has relied on the left side of the line to run the ball. So, I mean, I don't see why you mess with that. All right, guys, before we go, I do want to mention, because I am heartbroken. There's one thing I'll be a fan about, and that's the Detroit Tigers, because I don't cover the Detroit Tigers. Heartbroken, of course, Justin Verlander's gone, but glad to see that he's in the ALCS. I do hate the Yankees. Always have, always will. The only reason why Jim Abbott threw a no-hitter with the Yankees against the Cleveland Indians in 1993, so that's the only reason why I'll even reference the Yankees. And Jim Abbott's one of my favorite players. Well, he is my favorite player of all time. Then it's Ken Griffey Jr. and Cal Ripken Jr. Anyway, Yankees, Astros, ALCS. Justin won game two of the divisional series for the Astros against Boston. Looks like he's probably going to get the nod in game two. Dallas Keuchel's going to start for the Astros. And I think, you know, you look at game five or game six, at that point, Justin will be on 5 to 7 days rest if needed, which I think this will probably be a 6 or 7 game series. So if you like baseball or if you miss Justin Verlander, they actually get started tonight. NLCS gets started tomorrow, and that is Cubs and Dodgers. And I like the Dodgers. I think it's going to be Dodgers-Houston in the World Series. I want Justin to get his ring. I love Jose Altuve. Love him. Love him. And not man crush love, but love him as a player. I want to see JV get a ring, but I really, really think this is it might be the Dodgers. So if you guys want to talk about baseball sometimes, I'm always up for that. And Dale Terry, did you miss much? If you just got here, you did. We are at the end of the show. We're going on 35 minutes. Rock City says, looking forward to watching them boys in living color next weekend at Penn State. Go Blue. Hey, Rock City, thanks for watching. It was good to get rid of JV, though. I mean, they had to, Aaron. I understand that. I was letting my fan emotion take over. But yeah, I mean, had to get rid of Justin Verlander. It was a great ride while it lasted. And Justin Verlander in 11, 12, 13, probably even to 14, had one of the most dominant stretches of any American League pitcher. Justin Verlander will be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Justin Verlander, I wish you could have got a World Series in Detroit, but we have to as Detroit Tigers fans, or just if you love baseball, you have to look at what Justin Verlander did for the Tigers, and he kept the Tigers as one of the best teams in the American League for, what, 10 years. So, good luck out there, Justin. I know Justin Verlander watches the show every day, he told me. Actually, he didn't. So, I actually did get a chance to interview him when he came up to, at the time, what was it? It was Jim Walter. Now it's Todd Wenzel and Davison. And Justin came up and did like a signing and stuff. So, he came over. He actually hit the Taco Bell across the street and then came over and talked to us. So, and I apologize for jinxing his no-hitter, and he said it was okay. So anyway, Aaron Wise said he was amazing. Bad GM killed it. Killed what? The run? I mean, runs can only go so far, and that was the run. Geez, any comments on Michigan basketball? Yeah, real quick before we go, what do you want to know? Media Day will be coming up. And for those of you who don't know, not just Michigan football, Michigan basketball, and Michigan State basketball. I cover both of those. So, Jeeds, my starting five. That's early. It's early, man. Let me think about that, Jeeds. Let me think about it. All right, guys. Appreciate you for watching. Again, please like and subscribe to my YouTube channel. You can find all kinds of interviews, Michigan State basketball, Michigan football, Michigan State football every now and then. But right now it's majority Michigan football and will be until basketball season starts up. I'll be at a couple Michigan State games. I'll be at Michigan State, Penn State, and trying to think what else. So yeah, follow me on Twitter at AdamBiggers81. Read all my stuff on FanRag Sports. FanRagSports.com, at FanRag_U. Follow the podcast on Twitter at Sports, at Mitten Sports MI. Let me spit that out. Find us on Facebook, Sports in the Mitten. And don't forget, you could get the audio-only versions on iTunes, Google Play, and the FanRag Sports Blog Talk radio channel. And I want to thank Tim and Keith at Mr. Spots in Ann Arbor, 808 State Street, for powering the show. And guys, next home game, predict the score correctly without going over or get as close to dead on. You just don't go over, get close, and the first response, the first dead on or the first closest without going over will win a free half steak or half chicken sandwich from Mr. Spots in Ann Arbor. So again, I'm Adam Biggers. Want to thank all of you guys for watching. Have a lucky Friday the 13th. I don't believe in superstition, but for those who do, Friday the 13th, it's just another day. Don't worry about it. Have a good one. Enjoy the games tomorrow. I'll have reactions because, again, I'm not going on the road. So probably right after the Indiana game, I'll have something written on FanRagSports.com, and then I'll hop on here, and we'll do a reaction, and we'll talk about either it was a great road win for Michigan, things got together, or it was a consecutive loss, and now it's time to hit the panic button. So, again, have a good one, guys. Thanks for watching. I'll talk to you tomorrow.